Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. Thank you for joining me today for an important announcement about a long-running and ongoing public integrity investigation here in Buffalo. First, I'm pleased to be joined by several members of my team who have been working tirelessly on this case. Dan Court, the chief of our Public Integrity Bureau, prosecutors Susan Sadinsky and Diane LaValle, investigators Richard Doyle and Brian Ross, and senior analyst Robert Vanway. I'm also honored to be joined by representatives for some of the law enforcement agencies that are partnering with us in these investigations, including Adam Cohen, special agent in charge of the FBI's Buffalo office, Holly Hubert, assistant special agent in charge, and from the New York State Police Troop A Commander Stephen Negrelli and Captain James Hall of the Bureau of Criminal Investigations. The FBI, the State Police, the U.S. Attorney's Office, and our colleagues in DOJ in Washington have been indispensable partners in this investigation. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are announcing a very significant development in this ongoing investigation that we began more than a year ago. Yesterday afternoon, New York State Supreme Court Justice John Michalik pled guilty to receiving bribes and offering a false instrument for filing. Both are felonies. As a part of the plea and cooperation deal, Judge Michalik resigned his judgeship and faces 2 1/3 to 7 years in prison for his crimes. And this morning, Stephen Pidgeon, an attorney and well-connected political consultant, was arrested and indicted on multiple felony counts, including one count of extortion, 2 counts of bribery, and 6 counts of rewarding official misconduct. All are felonies. If convicted on all counts, Pidgeon faces up to 15 years in prison. For more than a year, investigators and attorneys from my office have been reviewing tens of thousands of email exchanges, text messages, bank records, government records, and more. My office convened a special grand jury, subpoenaed witnesses, took hours of testimony. And as we allege in our complaint against Judge Michalik, what we discovered was a multi-year, illicit, and corrupt scheme between Steve Pidgeon and the judge that gave Pidgeon preferential access to the court, rewarded Pidgeon and his friends, and sought to help Judge Michalik pursue a corrupt path to a higher court. Ladies and gentlemen, the facts laid out in our case show clear corruption from the bench. As alleged in our complaint, they also show a brazen and willful disregard for the law by Steve Pidgeon, an individual who sought to turn his political connections into cold, hard cash for himself and his friends. The charges we're announcing today all relate to a years-long, mutually beneficial bribery scheme between these two men, and as detailed in the felony complaint against the judge, we found that he and Pidgeon had been exchanging emails beginning in February 2012 and continued to do so for the next 3 years. And the scheme that developed, according to the allegations in both the indictment and the complaint, the scheme that developed between them was fairly simple. Judge Michalik would ask for favors from Pidgeon, and in return, Pidgeon would get information, insight, and preferential access from Judge Michalik on cases that Pidgeon and his associates had interest in. For several years, despite the obvious conflicts that such communications presented, the emails we reviewed showed that Judge Michalik repeatedly asked Pidgeon for help finding a job for a relative. In fact, in early 2012, we allege that just weeks after the judge sent Pidgeon a resume for his relative, the judge then sent Pidgeon a confidential bench memo about a pending motion in a case that Pidgeon was interested in. According to the facts, the judge is admitted in court, Judge Michalik also asked for Pidgeon's help getting an appointment for himself to a judgeship in the appellate division and help getting a second relative a job and an appointment to a public board. Judge Michalik is also admitted to receiving box seat tickets to two Buffalo Sabres games from Pidgeon's and that from Pidgeon and that Pidgeon helped a family member of the judge get a free ticket to a high-profile $1,000 a head political fundraiser. And as we allege in the felony complaint, the relationship went both ways. As Pidgeon lavished gifts and assistance on Judge Michalik, the judge admitted that he communicated with Pidgeon about matters before his court in which Pidgeon had an interest. And as outlined in the felony complaint, Judge Michalik kept Pidgeon apprised of the status of lawsuits that Pidgeon and his associates were involved in and engaged in ex parte communications about those cases. In one case, in March of 2012, Michalik specifically asked Pidgeon's advice about a case that involved Pidgeon. Pidgeon responded that he thought a motion to grant a protective order in the case should be denied. Well, 2 weeks later, as we allege, Judge Michalik sent an email to Pidgeon. Attached was a copy of the decision written just as Pidgeon had requested, along with a note thanking Pidgeon for his, quote, efforts, close quote, to find Michalik's relative a job. In another instance, the judge sent Pidgeon a note suggesting that Pidgeon get on a list of people who can serve as court-appointed receivers. Getting on that list can unlock thousands of dollars in legal fees. Pidgeon wrote back that he had, quote, some partners who could be appointed that could help me, close quote. Sure enough, a few weeks later, Judge Michalik appointed a lawyer that Pidgeon had suggested as a receiver, even though that lawyer was not on the government list of people qualified to be a receiver. According to the felony complaint, Judge Michalik told Pidgeon that was not a problem. He wrote, quote, we pushed it through anyway, close quote. This lawyer had, at that time, I believe, only been practicing law for 2 years. He was not on the approved list of receivers for a reason. And to top it off, later, after Pidgeon's associate got the receivership, we allege that Pidgeon extorted $5,000 in phony consulting fees from that same associate, essentially a kickback from the guy he got appointed as a receiver. Ladies and gentlemen, the facts alleged in these cases are exactly why so many New Yorkers have lost faith in government institutions and in their representatives. The deceit, the horse trading, the I'll scratch your back if you'll scratch mine, status quo has really got to end here and now. Enough is enough. I believe very strongly in the American system of elective democracy. I believe in our independent judiciary. And corrupting that system is something that every American should take offense at, and everyone should agree that we're going to unite to put an end to it. My commitment to rooting out corruption is deep, and the overwhelming majority of people who work in government and the judiciary are good public servants trying to do their job. This undermines their credibility. This discourages good people from running for office or seeking public service or from voting. We've had cooperation from many government agencies, great people working with us throughout this, in addition to the folks here today. The Central Police Services, lawyers in the county attorney's office have been cooperative. And keep in mind that it was folks at the local boards of elections, Republicans and Democrats, who sent materials to the central board that resulted in the referral of this matter to my office in the first place. So it's important to recognize that most public servants are here to do their job and to do public service. Those that abuse the public trust, we will pursue no matter how well connected they are, no matter how powerful they may be. The idea of equal justice under law demands no less. And I thank you for joining me here. And now Matt Mittenthal will moderate any questions. Well, the indictment and complaint that we're announcing today is about the judge and Stephen Pidgeon.
But I guess, if I could follow up, just, does this investigation
Well, it's been this is an ongoing investigation. This is not the only part of the investigation, but today we're here, we're talking about something that involved two individuals.
Steve Brand for Channel 7. Can you tell us, sir, how did this all come about? Did you get a tip from somebody, and how did all this start?
Well, it started initially with a referral from the new independent counsel's office at the New York State Board of Elections, based on information provided from people here in Erie County. We began to look at it and obtained information, and we followed the facts wherever they lead in any investigation. And it led us to this communication, these emails, and we pursued it from there.
General Bob McCarthy from the Buffalo News, is the grand jury still in session?
I don't want to comment on ongoing other ongoing aspects of the investigation.
Well, could there be more charges coming in? I guess specifically about the original cases that were brought to your attention about election law violations, are those still possible actions for your office?
Yes, I don't want to comment on any other aspects of the ongoing investigation, but it is an ongoing investigation.
Is there a reason for David Kelly from Channel 2 here in town? Is there a reason why this type of case required your office to get involved as opposed to that city here in town?
Well, we received a referral, and we have expanded the public integrity activities of our office significantly since I became Attorney General. We entered for the first time in history into a joint executive order with State Controller Tom DiNapoli so that he can provide us with referrals of any public corruption case that involves abuse of state funds. So we have brought, I'm sure we're well over 70 cases through that partnership with the controller, and we have also received referrals in other cases, and this one came from the Board of Elections.
Can you tell me, as you mentioned, right up in here, inside input into the judge's decision-making on important cases? Can you identify what cases we're talking about?
The facts set forth in the complaint and the indictment are the cases that we're talking about. Correct.
So what you've heard today are about state felony charges. The FBI will continue to investigate, following leads where we find them, and it's possible that there can be future charges at the federal level as well.
To clarify, you have not closed the book on this investigation?
This is only one prong of an active investigation for the FBI.
Well, this is these are charges of bribery, extortion, and each of the specific felonies has specific requirements in the law. But in this particular case, the emails, some of them that I've described and others that are referred to in the felony complaint and the indictment, make it very clear what was going on here. This is not a case where there's any murkiness. Our allegations are that there was a very clear quid pro quo between the judge and Stephen Pidgeon. No, we try not to mention people's names who are not being accused of any wrongdoing. In some cases, some of those people provide cooperation to our office. We encourage people to come forward if they have information about public corruption, and we do our best to refer to people who are not being accused of wrongdoing as infrequently as possible. This case is about Pigeon and Michalik. This is a relationship between these two. As to what other people may or may not know, no one else is accused of misconduct. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you. Well, we've appeared in front of the judge today, and bail was set, and we'll go forward and have pretrial motions and go to trial. I can't tell you the exact timetable. We are prepared to go forward as and would like to go forward as quickly as possible.
One or two more.
Mr. Attorney General, are you shocked by this? And it's not often we hear about a case like this involving a justice.
Yes, this is. I take being a lawyer very seriously. I believe deeply in our system of laws, and the impartiality of the judiciary is arguably the most important cornerstone of the American system of justice. And if you go back and look at what the founders were talking about, they were very concerned about the injustice suffered under the courts when they were colonies. And for a judge to sell their office for favors, for benefits, for money is something that I think should offend all Americans, but certainly should offend all American lawyers. This is something that we cannot have. The undermining of public confidence in our system of justice is a very serious problem in this country. And I think that that's why we have a clear commitment to pursuing injustice wherever it occurs. But the corruption in the judiciary has a special, specially distasteful, offensive, and dangerous quality to it.
So given the emails that you've uncovered with the cases that the judge was presented with Mr. Pigeon and the favors that he granted, will those cases then have to go back and be retried perhaps? Or where will that lead?
Well, we've been working with our colleagues in the Office of Court Administration who have taken action already. The judge obviously is not on the bench any longer, and they're dealing with the cases that were being heard by the judge. So the Office of Court Administration is fully apprised of this and have begun taking steps already and are going to deal with those matters.
Some of the old cases be tossed out?
That's something that they're working their way through right now. Specifically here, we're talking about a limited number of cases, but the Office of Court Administration obviously is taking a broader look at cases that were before Judge Michalik.
I was told yesterday he had hundreds of cases in his inventory. Are a large number of those now in question?
I don't know. That's the Office of Court Administration is supervising that process. The cases that we alleged, that we talked about in our complaint and our indictment, are the ones that we're focused on. This is an extremely disturbing and very, very un-American scheme, but it's a scheme between two men about a relatively limited number of facts. We are confident that we can prove these facts at trial. And as everyone has stated, this is an ongoing state and federal investigation.
How about the client that appointed receiver, sir, who you said, kickback money to Pigeon? Is that receiver?
Essentially, as you can read the allegations, we allege that this person ended up at the end of the day being more of a victim. The extortion charge is a very serious charge.
Very last one.
You mentioned this is an illicit scheme. Any idea when this alleged corruption actually began? How many years ago it actually started?
Well, the specific corrupt relationship between Michalik and Pigeon, we allege, started in February 2012.
Are there any other justices sitting on the bench in Western New York that you have questions about the impartiality based on your knowledge of this investigation?
As I said, I'm not going to comment on any other aspects of the ongoing investigations.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.